Good morning. It's great to be here with those that love the Lord and wonderful worship this morning. And I just love the comparison of some of the things that were made in terms of having some wonderful warm time with the Lord. And we're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about serving God versus satisfying God. And I did not get this information too surely in time to make up our little bulletin, so I ran off a copy of this. You can take that at home. That has a little handout with some scriptures on it. Some of the things that we're going to share today, you can use that for a little reference point. But as we were worshiping this morning, it was really touching me because I was just almost overcome with such a gratitude to the Lord for His mercy and forgiveness on me. We're going to talk about serving God and satisfying God. And I didn't all of my life. I was 30 before I came to know the Lord. And I thought I was pretty hot stuff. I was only 28. I was in the Air Force. I had made major already. I was flying all over the world. And you know, you think you're really full. But I was just satisfying me, you know. And at that time, there weren't any generals. In the female generals in the Air Force, so I was going to shoot Shirley so I could be the first one. And a little joke there. She was a go-getter there too, so I was going to have my competition out of the way to be a general. So, but you know, we were cruising down there in life, and but I look back on it, what a sad little soul. Here I thought I was at the top of the world and such a lost young woman, and I just thank God for His mercy. Because I wasn't using my mouth and my body and my mind for the Lord. I was using it against Him. And when I would have some of the mournings and the things that would come through my mind of the sacrifices made in Vietnam and some of the mourning, I wouldn't go to the Lord. I wouldn't try and figure things out in my head. I'd get on to Charlie's other brother, which is a local bar and grill, or I'd go to McGuire Air Force Base Officers Club, you know, just... Or I just go traveling again, or just something else to change the subject, change my mind. See, the adversary is really good at deceiving us. Here you think you're okay, you got it together. I'm a good person, I like God, of course I'm going to heaven. You're dead in your sins, Linda, hello. But I didn't know it. But see, God knew once He got a hold of me, I'd serve Him. Because he didn't hold my ignorance and my rebellion against me. I'm so grateful. So this morning, I'm just like, I almost fell over. I'm like, God, I can't believe that You forgave me for all that stuff. I mean, I wasn't serving Him. I was serving me. And then He captures my heart, and I still serve me. And I go, yuck. It's a battle. It's a battle. It's a battle. And I want us to be aware of it, and we have to run to Him. I'm not saying we don't serve God. The example in the scriptures about Martha and Mary, and He said, Martha, Mary's chosen the better part. He wasn't saying that Martha was bad. He wasn't telling Mary she should serve. He wasn't telling Martha she should stop. He was talking about priorities. We need to do both. You're not going to do any good if you go run away in a cave thinking you're going to sit there and praise God forever. And you never help anyone. You never teach anyone. You never be the Bible that they'll never read. You have to have servant hands and servant hearts. But you're never going to do that part right if you don't have the first part right. And that's in satisfying God first. I tend to be a Martha type person. So I'm always making sure that I have to get my Mary part in there. Because if I don't, the Martha part's going to be very fleshy. And that's what He's talking about. You're no earthly good if you walk around all the day with your head in the sky. That's foolishness. Your heart has to be consumed in serving and satisfying Him. And when that's straight and that line is direct, then the service you have with your hands is going to be directed by His Spirit, and it's going to do more than just the physical of service. It's going to have something spiritual with it. So if God tells you to bake a pie and bring it over to someone, it's going to be more than just satisfying some fleshy desire of taste for them. It's going to serve a spiritual purpose too. See, everything God tells you to serve has a spiritual purpose. But if you're just flying around, just all caught up in serving people, you're going to end up Well, we'll get into that. We'll get into that. So serving God versus satisfying God. There's one of the older devotionals by Oswald Chambers. Many of you are familiar with that. He was back in the early 1900s. He was like 28 or something when he died. He died of pneumonia, I think, or something like that.
Complications from an appendectomy.
Or from an appendectomy or something. But he was very, very, I think it was a lung problem after the surgery. I mean, wow, but what he did, boy, God used him. An understanding of the powerful spiritual realm of the Lord. And in one of his writings, he said, how many of us are set upon Jesus Christ, and he used an old word, slaking. I said, what the heck is that? I had to look it up. How many of us are set upon Jesus Christ quenching, that's what it means, quenching our thirst? We're always asking God for something when we ought to be satisfying him. So I go, oh boy, man, you could sit on that sentence for a while and say, okay, God, where does that fit in my life? We should be pouring out now, spending to the last limit, not drawing on him to satisfy us. See, it's the other way around. But when you satisfy him, guess what? He's going to turn around and satisfy you. You're going to have the knowledge, the understanding, the wisdom, the patience, the love, the forgiveness. You're going to get all of that when you go to him first. And then Oswald goes on to say, he quotes a scripture that says, you shall be witnesses unto me, is what the Lord says. That means a life of unsullied, uncompromising, and unbridled devotion to the Lord Jesus. A satisfaction to him wherever he places us. So it's like, oh, okay, I got to reverse this. I have to stop looking at me and my needs and my wants and my lack. Blah, 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 blah. I need to look to you, Lord. Okay, I'm going to be satisfied, Lord, because I'm satisfying you. I just need to know you. I need to know you. Because in that, he's going to turn around and work through us to do anything that anyone could have ever thought of doing. He goes on and says, beware, very important point. Now, this particular teaching this morning is just for me. You might as well not be here. I'm teaching to myself now, okay? So this one is really designed for me. So, but some of you, no, you can't leave. No, you can't leave. Through. No, you got to sit here. So sorry about that. Oswald goes on and says, beware of anything that competes with loyalty to Jesus Christ. The greatest competitor of devotion to Jesus is service for him. Ooh. It is easier to serve than to be drunk to the dregs, meaning that you are sucked out empty.
Mm-hmm. Whoa. Mm-hmm.
The one aim of the call of God is the satisfaction of God, not a call to do something for him. Mm-hmm. We are not sent to battle for God, but to be used by God in his battlings. Mm-hmm. Ooh, I read that and I said, ooh, that's deep, Lord, that's deep.
Can you say that again, please?
Which one?
Just what you just said.
We are not sent to battle for God, but to be used by God in his battlings. That's in Oswald's January 18th entry, part of what he had said then. Whoa. Mm-hmm. See, because it was on my heart. I said, God, what do you want me to share? I don't choose what I'm going to do. I don't have my sermons laid out for a year. I don't know. I mean, you know, I'm seeking God all the time. God, what do you want to share? What is the issue? He knows what's going on in our lives. He's up to date. He knows what we need to be fed, what we need to hear. And it was what came to my heart was this, faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. God wanted to clarify that. I said, what do you want to say about that? He wants to clarify, because I really sense God is filling us as we empty ourselves of us. He's filling us with him, which means he wants us to do something for him. He's preparing each and every one of you to share the truth. And that devil wants you caught up in everything. He wants you caught up in financial ruin. He wants you caught up in drugs and alcohol. He wants you caught up in relational problems, lack, abundance. He wants everything in the way between you and Jesus Christ, because we are coming to those end portion times. Now, I'm not telling you I know when he's coming. No one knows when he's coming. Wouldn't be surprised if it was in the fall, because that's the Jewish, not this fall, let me say. Whatever. Would be nice if it was. But the ingathering, the Jewish, the Feast of Booths, I think it was called, ingathering, is in September, October at some time. And, you know, on our calendar, matched up against their calendar. So I wouldn't be surprised if he did, but who knows? And then you get all these blood moons and stuff from running out. I'm not going there. I'm just saying, there's a great work to be done. And I am suspicious that there may be some calamities coming to this country that have not hit us yet.
Yes.
There are people out there run by Satan that want to destroy the world. And we're part of the things in the way for them to do that. So don't be surprised if we have God-awful things happening here. When that happens, not only the natural disasters and the rivers rising and the floods, I'm talking about there was just some group that they found some information that they were passing it online that they were going to go to random schools and behead children just randomly. They don't care if they're caught. They don't care if they're shot doing it. They want to do it to send a message. So when things like that happen, when you have a couple of dirty bombs go off and a couple of theaters randomly but simultaneously, a couple of schools attacked, when you have some of our own people dying in front of us, that's going to open the eyes. That starts taking a priority over your stupid bowling and over your... And I'm saying anything wrong. I'm not coming in bowling or any recreational sport. I'm just saying our lives are full of us and not of God. And God has a way to awaken his people. And some of them don't know people. They were just as ignorant as I was before I came to know the Lord. And you are going to be the ones to guide them and to lead them with the truth. So what are you going to give them? A bunch of churchy gobbledygook? Well, you got to go to Sunday school and you got to go to church and you got to kneel down on that day and you got to holy ablutions on this day. What are you going to be teaching them? You better be talking about satisfying God and serving people. You better be teaching them the truth of salvation in Jesus Christ. That's what God's doing here. Mm-hmm. He wants you full of praise and worship mm-hmm. so you can go out and minister to his people. Mm-hmm. Because even though we don't see them now, they're going to be, they might never be in this building, but they're going to be where you work. And they're going to be full of fear, and they're going to be full of misunderstanding. They're going to be open to hearing something about a real God, about truth, about security, about eternity. There are no atheists in foxholes, is an old saying. But you know it's true. I did 5 years with the Army National Guard as a chaplain. They had 2 deployments, one to Afghanistan and Iraq. Wow. They had a lot of questions. The closer they got to deploying, the more time I spent with them. They had so many questions about, you know, life, their morality, what's going on, what does this all mean? Started coming closer and closer to them. And then they had all sorts of problems when they came back. I thank God to give them truth, not just little comforting, it's going to be okay words. To give them truth. Where is your soul with God? Where are you as a man or a woman with God? That's the answer. That's the key. That's what we need. We are a broken people separated from God by Adam, but restored in Jesus. Now we're talking about this. I said, you know, here Oswald is talking about being bent on satisfying God, not just yourself. But some will say, well, you know, but God says faith without works is dead. And the Lord said, write to me, be careful. The devil wants you dead from exhaustion, not exaltation.
Mm-hmm.
I went, whoa, ain't that true?
Mm-hmm.
Friday night, I drove to Orlando, Florida. Stayed with my sister because I had to leave early in the morning to drive to Patrick Air Force Base, which is totally on the East Coast, out there in the ocean. Because there was a Florida Wing CAP meeting. They made me Florida Wing chaplain, you know, whatever, Joshua, hey, there you go. So I was there. During the meeting, a guy decides to have a stroke, a real stroke. I'll give you the details on that later, you know, just, no, really, a lot of stuff was going on. The meeting was delayed. I was going to leave at 11:30. At 11:30, he has a stroke, and I go, what are you doing, God? I'm supposed to be going over to back to Tampa, you know, because last night I had a banquet that I had to do the invocation and the benediction for. So I'm over there on the East Coast. I was going to leave at 11:30. I didn't get to leave till 3 because it was ministering to the wife, to the other people that were shocked by this thing, coordinating getting one of our chaplains to go visit him in the ICU, all this stuff. I didn't get out of there till 3. I get 2.5-hour drive. I get back here just in time to change my outer shirt, put on my dress blows, and head over to the banquet. On the way, which I got lost, you know, frustration was coming in. I said, God, I'm not going to be frustrated. show me what to do. Now, that just, I give you that example just to say, I could have been caught up in the works. In every moment, I just thank God for the change. God, what do you want me to do? He refreshed me. I was a little tired. He refreshed me. I'm here for a reason. My gosh, I got to pray with that guy. Ask God for restoration of that man in his soul and in his heart. That guy is probably gonna pass away. They put a vent in him. He had massive bleeding in his brain. He had a massive stroke. He had a complete aphasia. He was flaccid on the right side. I mean, totally, that's it. He's probably gone. But he was awake, he was alert and listening. And my prayer, it just came out of my mouth and I said, God, please, I ask for you to set in motion your plan for him and for a quick resolve. Boom, he's probably going to be dead tomorrow. That's when the rest of his family gets in and they're going to pull the vent. You know, wow. God, thank you. I was there for a reason. So you can't look at satisfied. It would have been too much. I tried to cancel the banquet. But they contacted me and said, you know, we thought you were going to be there, so we didn't get another chaplain. You know, so I said, oh, all right, that's why I tried to leave at 11:30. But that day, I said, Lord, that's not working out, yet I have a commitment. I'm on the East Coast. It's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I've got a commitment on the West Coast, and I got to be there at 7. It's like, God, so I don't want to get caught up in service, but that's what the situation was. I'm not in control of what goes on. God's in control. But he gave me strength and he gave me a lightness of heart and I thank God he gave me a protection. I got from there to there. A little lost in between, you know, the old map master. I got lost trying to find my classroom. You know, I came out, went to the ladies' room, went back, like, where am I? What hallway am I in? There were a couple of cadets there and I said, you know where my classroom is? Yeah, it's right over there, chaplain. They were down here, we were down there. Oh, send her back over there. You know, see, God's not depending on my abilities and not looking at my disabilities. You just need to be a vessel for the Lord. So be careful. The devil wants you dead from exhaustion, not from exaltation. You see, he'll never get you dead from exaltation. You're never going to die of praising the Lord. In that praise, you're going to have strength. So as I praised God in these things, as I turned myself over to him, as I went to satisfying him rather than me, whoa, then he gave me what I needed, and he gave people what they needed. So it's so, so powerful. Now, are we being more devoted to service than to Jesus? Only you can answer that question. But we have to look at what is pleasing and satisfying to God. So I don't want to look at, now I'm not saying you can't ask God for things, because we depend on him for everything. Cry everything out to him. I mean, Jesus Christ was Lord of Lords, King of Kings, the creator of the world, and he thought prayer was pretty important. He did a lot of it. So I'm going, okay, he's my example. He knows everything. He has everything. There's nothing he needs, and he still prayed. Oh, okay. Still pray. Prayer is getting in communication with God. It's not always asking. Prayer is praising. Prayer is telling him how good he is. That's that intimate communication. If you're just sitting in church and getting a sermon or singing a song, that's cute, but they ain't going to cut it. It ain't going to cut it. This is a tough, tough life. Read my first book, The Climb. Then finish it off with the second book, TMR5, The Next Generation. God has put so many things in there that you can see this is a difficult walk, because we're always doing what? Fighting the flesh. Just like was cried out earlier. Yeah, of course you can open your mouth and praise God. The flesh doesn't want to. We're born not wanting to, not me. You got to fight the flesh. You got to open your mouth and praise God. Well, that's not my kind and my type. What? Just like Mark said, I've often marveled at that. Some of the people that are, they go to a football game. Did you see that? And then they leave the game, and they're like that in the car. And then they come home, and they're telling other people, go, you would not believe that game today. You would not believe what we saw. You would not believe the victory that our team has. How many of you go home to your families and say, whoa, you would not believe what God did this morning in church. You would not believe how awesome our God is and the victory we have in him. Now, I'm not saying to be yellers and screamers. I'm just saying, be careful if some of you go home and go, whoa, you should have been in church today. But But I'm just, some of us are more yellers. I come from a yelling family, as some of my friends will attest to. Some of us have a personality that's a little more animated. I'm not talking about personalities. I'm talking about open your stinking mouth. You don't have to be outgoing personality to open your mouth, especially in the assembly with your brothers and sisters, and say, thank you, God. And maybe even loud enough your neighbor could hear you. I don't mean your neighbor, your address. I mean your neighbor who's sitting beside you.
Okay.
Whoa. What are we thinking? What are we doing? What are we here for? To satisfy God. Now, serving Him by serving others is great. But what really pleases the Lord, I want us to know, we can do both. But God was giving us the priority of Him first. Because your service is going to be like bumpy, lumpy, scattered. It's going to be earthy, maybe fleshy. And we don't want to do that. I mean, it's good to bake a pie. You know, I hate to use a pie recipe. It's good to bring a plate of fruit. You know, whatever. It's good to sweep a sidewalk or to blow a yard, the driveway. It's good to do good works. They should be wrapped up in who you are. They should be the things you automatically do if you have a servant heart. And if you don't have a stinking servant heart, ask God for one. He'd be glad to give you that. Now, whether you get a cruise to the Caribbean, if you ask for, I don't know. But you want a servant heart, He'd be glad to give you one. But guess how you get a servant heart? He has to take you through the classes and the courses and the processes of not serving yourself. And most people just say, well, I don't want to do that. It's too tough. So serve God, satisfy God. It pleases Him. Just like the example earlier, you know, or who was going to be General Dr. Shirley back there, sitting four seats down from President Ford. Well, they gave a lot of accolades to President Ford. They gave a lot of accolades to local generals. And then they gave the list. I was at the banquet last night for the group three, and they're given a list of all these accolades. They had a SPOTS award, which is the highest level a cadet can go in the program, and you got to do a ton of things. And they list off his resume of what this kid does. And I go, geez, he's only 18. How did he get all that done in 18 years, you know? So they give all the accolades. The family's there. People are clapping. Local units are going, yay, yay. I go, how many accolades do we give to God? That's how we give accolades to God. Raise your hands up and go, thank you, God. Thank you, God. I'm going to challenge you. The next time you're sitting in your living room going, yay, with your local game, I'm going to challenge you. Did you do that in church? Did you give that type of excitement and love and connection and devotion to God? Open your mouth. Raise your hands. Now, I'm not telling everyone to dance, you know, but you can. You feel free here. You can dance. But we don't want people full of emotion. We want you full of the Spirit. Because emotion is only going to get that fleshy stuff again. But first, I want you to think about what pleases you. Being recognized, being loved, being paid. I mean, you know, those are things that please you. And what pleases you about others? They recognize you, they love you, and they pay you, or whatever the situation might be. The key word there is you. We got to change our key word to Jesus. Now, not being some freaky thing, I'm talking about, see, because when the flesh mixes with the Spirit, it's not the Spirit anymore. God says, that don't count, stained. If it's stained, it ain't God. So you have to be so careful it's not your idea. So if somebody wants to come in here dressed like a clown tumbling up and down because, you know, they said God says, I don't know, whatever. I mean, you know, you can do whatever. But that flesh, because the world, the flesh, and the devil, they're against God and His Spirit. Because He's a clean spirit and a smooth spirit. Everything He tells you to do is going to have a powerful, strong spiritual reason behind it. So always check that out. You've got to have that priority first. Satisfy Him. You'll be able to do all the service that He requires and calls you to do for others. So that key word, our example is Jesus. Did Jesus satisfy God? And did He serve people? Yes, He did both par excellence. But He also walked by people who had needs. And not because He was unkind. But He said, I only do what I see my Father do. Meaning He's led by the Spirit. Everyone has needs. You will be exhausted tending to everyone's needs. I had such a victory yesterday. Because this guy had a stroke. That wasn't the victory. This guy had a stroke. And there was a need. And the medics came right. They were there within 5 minutes. Because this one guy was timing it. It was really great. They were there. They got him on the stretcher. They took him around, arranged for his wife, arranged for someone. They stepped right up to the plate. One of the CAP members drove the wife because she was in no condition to follow the ambulance, so took them over there. And the first thing that came up with me was, I've got to drop everything in. I've got to go over there to tend to him. I'm a chaplain. And it was like so good because this being trying to be soaked in the Lord and take everything unto the Lord, I just took everything to the Lord. It's like, wait a minute. There's 22 chaplains in this wing. I'm not the only one here, you know? Hello. So now this is where it's providential. I just happened to bring a list that I just made because I just got this position. The non-paying, all-volunteer, you pay for wherever you go position, whatever. But God takes care of all that. But I just happened to make up a list, all the different groups and all the different units and where the chaplains were located. I said, that list came to my mind, and I said, yes, Lord. Hey, I'm a chaplain now. I can call someone else. It's not just me. It's other people now, you know? I said, okay. I looked, and guess what? I'm at Patrick Air Force Base. There is a CAP unit called Patrick Composite Squadron. It's right there at the base. I called the chaplain who was assigned to that squadron. He said, I will stop what I'm doing right now. And he's familiar because he lives in the area. Went right over to the hospital and tended to them. Wow. What a victory.
Amen.
What a victory. I'm jumping up and down more about that than probably anything else. Yes, yes, because that would have really confused everything else. Then I'd have been jumping not only from the meeting, but from the hospital and the people and the questions and everything. I wouldn't have left there till God knows when. So God knows you can serve him, but you got to satisfy him first. Now ask God what pleases him. In Psalm 139:23-24. 139 is kind of like my psalm. I said, that's my psalm, God. Mm-hmm. But then there's a whole bunch, like Psalm 34 is too, and Psalm 62. But anyway, but Psalm 139 has really touched my heart over all the years. And right here it says, search me, O God, and know my heart. This is what you have to ask him now. If you want to please him, this is what you got to do. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there be any hurtful way in me. And do what? Lead me in the everlasting way. I don't want that. You actually have to go to God and say, I don't want what I have because it's broken. I want what you have. You do that and God's going to tell you what satisfies him. And you have that list in front of you. Obedience. It truly fills and satisfies God. Prayer satisfies God. Praise, forgiveness, truth, purity, kindness, generosity. These are all the things that should be manifesting in our lives. Love, peace, patience, and all the things like that. That satisfies God. And you go, oh, click, click, light comes on. If that satisfies God, I love you, God. I want to give my life to you. Then that's what I want to concentrate on doing. And in that, if I have that growing in my life and heart, then you can just put me anywhere you want to do anything that you call and choose. And just a couple more scriptures real quickly. Hebrews 13:15-16. This is where you can do both the serving and the satisfying. He clarifies that for us. Hebrews 13:15-16. Through him, meaning Jesus, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. So that has to be continual. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. Lips. Doesn't mean writing down a piece of paper, although that's good. Doesn't mean thinking it, although that's good. Doesn't mean even quiet prayer, although that's good. It says fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. And do not... Now here's the other half. The first part of that verse is you got to go to God first. You got to be praising him. You got to be in his presence. You got to have him ruling in you, not just sitting in a box you locked him in. Jesus, come into my heart, and then I'm not going to let you do a thing in my life? What? Jesus, come into my heart and be the motor that runs me and forgive me for all the junk, all the stuff that I put in there. We put sugar in our gas tanks and wonder why our spiritual motors don't run right. You got to do it the way God says for this thing to work right. And then he goes on and he says, and do not neglect doing good and sharing. For with such sacrifices God is pleased. It's a sacrifice to give. It's a sacrifice to do good. It's a sacrifice for everything that's beyond you and what your needs are and your satisfaction. So God is doubly pleased with us not just giving, but giving it up to Him. And in Proverbs 6:7, when a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he, the Lord, makes even the Lord's enemies be at peace with him. I'm looking at that and I'm going, okay, God, how's that going to work with ISIS? But whatever. I don't know. God's going to work it out. God is going to work it out. We may be closer to the end, or there may be a long 100 years more struggle. I have no clue. But I'm going to do it with the Lord. That's where my peace is going to be. Not whether we have enough security or whether Ebola is going to make it to my doorway. I'm not looking to the government to protect me, although I absolutely hope they do because we're paying them enough money. But that's not where my security is. And I hope your security is in Jesus Christ. He will lead you and guide you in the way in which you must go. And then in 1 Kings 3, Solomon did something, even though Solomon messed up, but look at what Solomon's prayer was. Look at what he asked the Lord in 1 Kings the third chapter, 1 Kings 3, starting with verse 9. This is what Solomon cried out to God. Talk about wanting to satisfy God. He said, so give thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, to discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of thine? Only him. Only God. And it was pleasing in the sight of the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Verse 11, and God said to him, because you have asked this thing and have not asked for yourself long life, nor have you asked for riches for yourself, nor have you asked for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself discernment to understand justice, behold, I have done according to your words. And God says, behold, I have given you a wise and discerning heart. So there has been no one like you before, nor shall anyone like you arise after you. And then he goes on and he says, verse 13, and he gave him all the wisdom and discernment for justice that he asked for. He says, and I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone among the kings like you all your days. And this is always the clarification in the covenants that God makes with us. And if you walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and commandments as your father David walked, then I will prolong your days. Solomon didn't. I'm not getting into that particular teaching right now. He didn't, as so many of us don't. But God will pick us up from there. You go right back to him, you start right all over again. That's what God is talking about. I'm going to give you more than what you even asked for, but don't ask for your riches and your personal comfort up front. Go to me and ask for the things that are holy and wonderful and good and full of his spirit, and the rest of that stuff is going to come along. And we'll end up with 2 Corinthians 5:9. And let this be your focus mission. 2 Corinthians 5:9, your mission. Therefore, also, we have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to him. So let us not only serve God, but let us satisfy him. God bless you.